Hebrews 11 verse 1. Open it, actually, if you got your Bible there or you got your iPad, plug in H-E-B space 11:11.3. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. If we can see it, if it is actually there and present, then we don't need to have faith for it because it's already there. But faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Actually, I needed my Bible as well. Where is it? It's run away. Can I borrow your Bible? You've got this cool Bible. Anyone else got the Revival Study Bible? It's a very cool Bible. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You get this? So that the things which are seen were not made of things which were visible. So what it's saying there is that the universe was shaped and formed by things that were not at that time visible. And when God spoke, they became into being. I've said this before, it's impossible for God to lie. His words are creative. If God was to walk into this room right now and say, "That wall there is black," do you know what would happen to that wall? It would turn black. When Jesus comes to the little girl who has died and he says, "She's not dead, she is sleeping," what happened at that moment is she went from being dead to sleeping. That which was already came into visibility. And that's the incredible thing with faith. Now, if you look in verse 13 of Hebrews 11 as well, I love this. It's talked about Abraham and the great patriarchs and all those guys. And then it says, "Though these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Oh, mate. Did you seriously go and get me a coffee? Wow. See, now that was faith. Spoke it, and it came into being. I couldn't have done that by myself. There, that was awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Trouble is, someone would run out and get me a muffin there, and then I'd miss my message. Father, I ask that everyone would be awake and attentive for this message. Awesome. Thank you very much. Get us coffee. Yeah, yeah. Trilby will buy you one. So verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." See, faith not only sets up for the here and now, but faith also sets up for the then and there. See, these guys died in faith, seeing some of what we live in and believe and is visible to us these days. Is that making sense? These guys saw the days that we live in from afar, and by faith saw these things coming into being and played their part in setting it up that you and I can live in the promises of God that we do today. That the Holy Spirit is released to every single one of us. In their day, the Holy Spirit only came upon certain people. We live in a day where miracles abound. We live in a day where the kingdom is at hand, that we can access it just like that. See, I love faith. I love faith that sees 5,000 people being fed. I just, you know, you're having a bit of a glum day, you open that up, have a look at it, 5,000 people fed. Except, and we know that it's probably more like 10, 15, 20,000 actually, because they only counted the men. Just like that. A few loaves and fishes, the boy hands over to God and he feeds a multitude. I love that sort of faith. I love that sort of faith that Glenn saw over the weekend where someone, what was it, they healed, their ankle was healed. soccer injury, ankle healed, and what was the other one? And a throat healed. I love that. That's cool. That's the then and now type faith. But I also love the faith that Jesus had of seeing that the sacrifice that he was making 2,000 years ago, I would be a recipient of here and now. That he saw me when he made that sacrifice, and he wanted me to live in the fullness and the freedom of the kingdom of heaven. I love the faith that set up some of the documents and laws for the British Empire. That saw then, by putting those things into place, that we would be recipients and benefits of now. That's exciting faith, isn't it? That is exciting, exciting faith. See, so I love the faith that is here and now, but also the faith that sets things up for the future as well. And having just celebrated 25 years, a very pivotal time for us as a church, we've done 25 years. And something that really impacted me over the whole 25th anniversary was the faith that had been shown by the people that set Thrive Church into motion. So the people that went out, they took a leap of faith. They found a building. They rented a building. They got the different things that they needed. They stole some chairs from down the row, borrowed. But then there was the faith of those that sent them out as well. And you know what? You and I, we're all recipients of that faith that was shown. Man, I am so grateful to those people that did that. Because I came into this church and was radically saved. Man, if they hadn't stepped out in faith, who knows? God would have found some way of me getting saved, but it was through what they did that there was a part of it. That right now, you guys sitting here being blessed in worship this morning was because of those people stepping out in faith. Isn't that cool? So it was a real pleasure and a privilege for me to take all those people out for a meal on the Saturday night. To take out the founding youth pastors, Dave and Sheree Joseph, and to talk with them and say, you know what, you guys said in demotion is still going on. That incredible outreach that was in the heart of this church is still going on, that you guys said in demotion. It was such a privilege. And so here we are, 25 years later, plus a few months, plus a 2 months, isn't it? Anyway, it doesn't matter. And here we are being impacted. This incredible church that continues to be a cutting-edge church. Take a quick look. I've got our video guys, Jared, namely, to just make up a video of the here and now of Thrive Church. Isn't that an amazing church? Here's my question: in 25 years' time, what will they be sitting in Thrive Church thanking us for? 25 years, what are they going to be thanking us for? What is it that they're going to be so grateful for? What is it that will have impacted their work that they'll be so grateful for? John Steele, when he spoke on our 25th anniversary, he said these statements. He said, "You're in for a very special year that causes you to enjoy the next 25 years. He also said, "You are going to hear some interesting things this year. God is the greatest visionary I know." These are verbatim. Now listen to the message again. "You are going to hear some interesting things this year. God is the greatest visionary I know." And the crux of his message was that the declaration of the word of God will bring things about. Something we've known for a long time. But that was the crux of what he was saying to us, that as you declare things out, then they will come about. He also said this: "Nothing will happen unless you say something." And then he talked about how everything was in chaos, and then God spoke. The world was in chaos. God spoke, and he brought form. And he was talking and referring also to our main street. You know, it's all broken down. It's in chaos. but he said God was going to speak. Now, I went back and I looked at Kevin Forlong's message when he was here. And the crux of Kevin Forlong's message to us at that time was that God speaks. And these are some of the things that he said that particular Sunday. Nothing happens in the kingdom without declaration. God works by his word in your mouth. So two of the strongest prophetic voices into our church, both giving a very similar message. How many people know that we should probably stand up and go, oh, God's saying something here? I want to read you a couple of journal entries that Ruth made about this year. And I always take notice of what Ruth writes at the beginning of the year because it comes to pass. 2010, she said, everything will be shaken that can be shaken. It was. Favor, faithfulness, fun, boldness, and courage. 2013 will be a year of faithfulness, favor, and fun. It will be a year marked with boldness and courage as people enjoy the adventure with me. The Lord has so much for his people to bless the world with. It is time to ask for strategies to bring this. But remember, it is not about being busy, but being loving. For Jesus loves, for love covers all things, and it is the kindness of God that brings repentance. And then she said this, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It is time to be sure that we live in divine union with God and that we truly bring the kingdom of God. The decisions made this year reflect this, and seed planted even years ago will reap an extraordinary harvest. People will be astounded as they watch what the Lord does through those who are sure of what they hope for. So we've got God just speaking to us as a church, haven't we? Just, you know, putting it out there in black and white, so to speak. We've got a church that, you know, this church is cranking. If I could use that term, this church is cranking. I love just, you know, why do you guys keep coming here every Sunday morning? Just go, what's going on? People just keep turning up for church on a Sunday morning, and we have these awesome worship times, and we've got amazing children's ministry going up there, and people bring you coffee when you're preaching. I mean, how much better can it get? We've had the biggest services ever. They just keep happening. We've got connect groups, as you saw up there, just connect groups multiplying. Josh and Liz's connect group, they give their connect group pretty much to these guys. These guys get a few others, and then Josh and Liz, a few weeks later, they've got another whole connect group turning up. I'm like, what? I'm just like, this is so cool. Just a multiplication of the kingdom happening and taking place. It's so, so exciting. It's so exciting to see people's lives being changed and transformed, people being saved. Easter camp taking the biggest number they've ever taken. All these young people impacted by the kingdom of heaven. It's so exciting. It is such an exciting church to lead and to pastor. And so with that, of course, becomes a wrestle. You know, knowing that every Sunday we're maxing this building out, especially with the children's ministry. And I've looked at the left, and I've looked at the right, and I've looked up, and I've looked down, and we've talked about it at leaders' meetings, and I've talked about it with just about anyone that I can talk about it with. I'm just going, what are we going to do? And this is the thing that I've been looking for, is what is God saying? Because I don't want to step out and do anything unless God's saying it. Not the least bit interested in doing that, but I don't need the wisdom of man. I need the word of God. I need the wisdom of heaven. And I think I've, you know, it's frustrated. I think Jared's been frustrated because he's, Chris, what are we going to do with all these kids on a Sunday morning? And I go, I'm not sure. Ask God. Stack them on top of each other. I don't know. Work out a way. Yeah. It's very true. We're getting smaller children and then they grow up. We're breeding around here. My goodness. But finally, God spoke to me. Finally, he spoke. And you're going to hear some interesting things this year. But nothing will happen unless you say something. And so, Thrive Church is going to have its own family home. We are going to buy it. We are going to build it. I don't know whether we buy it, whether we build it. Thrive Church is going to have its own family home. It is time. And this is what God showed me. He showed me that hundreds of thousands of dollars are going to be released to enable this. Rocks are going to be turned over and people are going to find treasure that has been placed here by God in advance. That this church building is going to be a beacon of hope to this community. It's going to be a beacon of hope to this community. That people will encounter Jesus in this building. Like I did 20 odd years ago. People will encounter Jesus for the first time in this building. People will be married and covenants will be formed in this building. Babies will be dedicated in this building. Baptisms will take place. That this is going to be a building of encounter with the Most High God. And the way that it comes about is going to be a testimony of faith. It's going to be a testimony of 5,000 being fed all over again. What God has done, do it again, God. We come into agreement with heaven. We have waited to hear from heaven before we speak. And we have what we believe is the mind of Christ. And today we're declaring it out that Thrive Church is going to have its own family home. And in 25 years' time, people will say about this present congregation, I am so pleased and so thankful for the courage, for the boldness, and for the faith that that congregation at that time showed. You know, when I talk about this, church, this will be something of our legacy for every single one of us. This will be something of our legacy that is about to take place. This church has never been about having big flashy buildings or anything like that. This church has been about getting on with the business. And, you know, some people may go, why do you need a building? Why do you need a family home? We go out and we spend all that money on a family home. Thrive Church needs a family home. Needs a family home, a place that we can call home. And this building has been a tremendous blessing to us for the past 12 plus years. It's been a tremendous blessing. But it's time for this to get a little bit bigger. Because the kingdom must not be held back by bricks and mortar. It must not be held back. We don't want to cap. We don't want to suppress something that God is doing. It would be a sin to do that. So we're going to rise and we're going to build it. I could share a whole lot more about how this has come about, and I will do in time, because it's quite an exciting, and I want to take you on the process of what has taken place. But there's a couple of other things that I just need to do today. If you've got your Bibles here, if you can just turn with me to Mark 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, 11, Mark. It's funny using a Bible you're not used to. Okay. Mark 11. It's a fascinating passage in here. We'll just start at verse 1. So this is the crux of kind of what takes place in this passage. How many people went away and looked at this last week and looked at the whole cult thing? Did anyone look at that? Cult as in the pony cult, not as in cult. As in, yeah. The whole donkey thing, yeah. That's it, we'll say donkey. It's fascinating because, you know, I'm reading this and I'm going, okay. So Jesus needs to get into Jerusalem and he says to the disciples, go to this place and there will be a donkey tied up. And so grab that donkey and bring that to me. And then he puts this, if these people come and say to you, why do you want this? Just tell them the Lord has need of it. And as I said to you, I was reading that and I said, God, why did you put that in there? Why do we need to know that detail? And I'll explain that in a moment. But you see in Mark 11, you see Jesus, he is focused. He's going to Jerusalem for the last time. You know, these are the last moments. He's focused. And so he's like, right, get me the donkey. Cool. Excellent. And then he gets into Jerusalem. They throw the palm branches down and he goes, oh, yep, that's really cool. And then he sees a fig tree. A fig tree gets in his way. A fig tree doesn't produce fruit. It's not even the season for fruit. And he just goes, curse that fig tree. And then he pops into the temple just to have a quick wee spy out, see what's happening in the temple. Heads out of the city, comes back the next morning. And then he says, he rocks into the temple and he just starts strewing stuff about. He's throwing the money changers tables over. He's letting birds out of the cages. He's just, you know, he's making this whip and he's whoop, phew. You know, I've said, like, if Jesus had a bad hair day, this looks like the bad hair day of Jesus. And then he moves on and then they head out of the town again. They come back in and the disciples see the fig tree and the fig tree's all withered. And the disciples, hey, what's with that, Jesus? You said shrivel and die and it shriveled and died. Wow, that's really cool. So you said, like, what's going on there? And this is what God showed me with this. He said, why the cult? I said, why the cult, Lord? And he said this to me. He said, because what I wanted you to see is that when I ask for something, a grace is released for that thing to be released to me. When I ask for something, a grace is released. That's what I want you to know through that passage. I went, that's awesome. So as soon as those people said, as soon as they said, God needs it, they said, take it. Now you think about those people. You think about the cult that they got back afterwards. One careful owner. That thing would have been worth a fortune. It was like a Harley Davidson that Elvis used to ride. No different from other Harley Davidsons were made at that same time, but Elvis rode it, so it was worth a fortune. See, they received something back, much more significant. But there was a grace that was released. The next thing was the fig tree. What's the whole deal with the fig tree? And there's a lot of things you can take from the fig tree, but this is what God showed me for our church at this time, is that when the King of Kings expects something to produce fruit, there is a grace for it to produce fruit. Regardless of the season. See, God was, Jesus was like, I want a fig. That thing should be producing a fig. There is a grace regardless of the season. And Jesus expects supernatural things to take place. He expects the supernatural. And so be expectors of the supernatural. The temple, if you don't know the whole background to the temple and what was going on with the money changers, preached a message on it about 3 years ago. Go back and try and find it on the podcast. It's a fascinating account. But the basis of this that God was showing me for our church is God is passionate that people would have a place where they can go and encounter him. And he will turn stuff over that gets in the way of that. He is passionate that people have a place of encounter with him. And then the fig tree, read through Mark 11 this week. Please do. Please do. Don't just go home and forget this. Read through it. The fig tree, he says, you know, if you believe in your heart and speak it out, then even that mountain could be thrown into the sea. That if you will come into agreement with heaven and you will speak it out, mountains can be moved. That's really what he's wanting to show. That what we speak has power and has authority. For us as a church, a grace is about to be released in this church for people, for businesses, for families, whether they be within this church or whether they be with outside of this church, to give. It will be irrespective of the season. He's passionate that people have a place to encounter him. The kingdom must not be hindered because of bricks and mortar. And as we speak it out and agree with heaven, it will be. Does that sound good? God is looking to you and I. This whole morning, God's just been going, Chris, I need you to do this. Chris, I need you to speak this out. Chris, I need you to agree with heaven. Chris, I need you now to release this to a whole lot more people than yourself, because it's going to take a whole lot more people than you, Chris, to agree on this and to see it. We are all going to be a part of this. All going to be a part of this. We were born for such a time as this. Nine months ago, God woke me up at some unruly hour of the morning and would not let me go to sleep, and just started speaking to me about the next building. And I didn't know if we were going to rent something or we were going to build something or whatever. But he woke me up 9 months ago and just started to speak to me about some things for for Ruth and I to do. And he said this to me. He said, Chris, if you will take this step of faith, it will release a grace into the church for the next building. If you will agree with me and if you will take this step of faith, it will release a grace into the church for the next building. And so I prepared myself. I was like, right, okay, we'll do it. We prepared. I talked with Ruth. We're like, yep, okay, let's do this. And we sat on it, and we waited, and we waited. And months went by, and we thought, well, I thought, Ruth probably still kept believing, but she's just like that. I thought, maybe it was just one of those bizarre kind of events. And I just put it back on the shelf. And then up at the New Life Conference about a month ago, and God really showed me, he showed me at that time that we were to build a building. That was what we were to do. And I went, cool. And I could feel it. It went from being a thinking thing to an in your spirit thing. And that's what I was waiting for. So I'm just worshipping away. And God goes, now remember that faith step. I'm going, oh, really? He said, you didn't hear me wrong. I'm going, really? He said, nope. I'm going, oh, okay. It was like 9 months later, he said, it's time for the baby to be born. It's time for you to do this. So I went, okay. And he said this to me. He said, Chris, I want your colt. I want your donkey. And he said, if you will do this, if you will take this step of faith, then it will release a grace into the church. Now, I'd rather not do what I'm about to do publicly. I really would rather not. But as this is in order that this would fully be released into the church. So, Ricky and Almira, can you guys just come out here? Would you be cool with that? Would that be all right? So it's been so cool for us to have you guys come together, be reunited as a family, and to see what God is doing in and through your lives. And so God wants you to have a vehicle. Have a colt. It's a beautiful colt. It's a lovely green colt. I hope you like green, but it has got a bit of silver on it. It's been the most favorite vehicle we've ever owned. It has been such a blessing to our family. We've had so many great adventures in it. And it's our pleasure and privilege to bless you guys with it today. To go and have adventures and start your new life. Very good. You know, Ricky and Almira came into church this morning. Totally didn't know that that was going to happen. Totally didn't know. And that's going to be one of the hallmarks of what happens with this building. Rocks are going to be turned over. And we're going to go, wow, God, you've been storing that away for us. You know, about 9 months ago, I had three separate events. I sat down with Ivan Button, previous minister of Rangiora Baptist Church, and he just starts telling me of the miraculous provision for their church. And then I start talking with John O'Martin up in Nelson, and he tells me of the miraculous provision of how God had stored something up for them. And then Steve Penny as well, he got up that same day as I spoke to Jono actually, and he talked about the miraculous provision that God had stored away. And so guys, it's time for us to believe that God has been storing some stuff away. There will be a grace for us to give into this, but this is too big for even us just to finance. God's got some other things that he's been storing away for this church. And you know, the first thing that we need to do as a church is we need to come together in agreement and believe for that. So the band are just going to play a song for us now. Nothing is impossible. And if you want to come together in agreement with it, then Glenn and I would love to lay hands on you and impart. And because Glenn's going to be very much the point person on this. He's already been out there ringing people up and looking for things. And so he's going to be very much the point person. So we want to pray for you today for an impartation of faith to believe for a building for our family. So let's do it. Guys, take it away. Just come and line up and we'll just pray for you quickly, a bit like a bit of a shout.